Jeremy, come on up.
Well, thank you, Pastor. If I could have you guys turn to chapter 3 of Exodus, chapter 3 of the book of Exodus. Let's see. Exodus chapter 3. Tonight I want to talk about God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's pray, and then I want to talk about God's plan for your life. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the good food and the service and the preaching this morning, and Brother Aaron's message that he just gave. Pray that you'd bless me as I deliver this message. Teach from your word. And I pray that you'd bless the other two preachers to follow and the rest of our time here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Moses is a well-known Bible character. Those of you that go to Sunday school here probably heard about Moses and about how he led the Israelites out of Egypt and led them during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. You may have heard about the great miracles that God did through Moses, such as the 10 plagues, splitting of the Red Sea, and many other different miracles that God did through Moses. Moses was a great man of God, one of the great heroes of the faith. However, many of you might not know that Moses initially had a problem with God's calling for his life. God had a tremendous plan for Moses' life, but in the beginning, Moses did not want to be part of it. Point number one. God has a plan for your life. Point number one, God has a plan for your life. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a plan for your life, and he has made you specifically to fulfill that purpose. God had a tremendous plan for Moses' life. Moses' job was to set a nation free that had been in bondage for hundreds of years. God wanted Moses to bring the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land. There's another famous Bible character. His name is Isaiah. Isaiah was a preacher of God's word. The Bible says in Isaiah 49, verse 5, and now saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again unto him. God had a tremendous plan for Isaiah's life. Isaiah was called by God to be a prophet. In the same way, although you might not be called to be a prophet or a preacher, each one of you has a distinct and important calling from God. God has a special purpose and plan for your life that he has designed you specifically to fulfill. Let me use a quick illustration to demonstrate this point. Timmy, are you ready? And Daniel? Thank you, Daniel. We have here an apple. Can you please show the people your apple? And a violin. An apple. Timmy, can you tell the people what an apple is made to be?
To eat.
Very good. An apple is made to be eaten. Dale, can you tell the people what a violin is made to do?
To make music.
Thank you very much. Dale, would you like to demonstrate some beautiful music? I can't let you eat the apple because it's not really mine. It's a borrowed apple. But I think we all know how good apples taste. Well, when things are used for their proper purpose, they work very well. A violin is made to make beautiful music, and when we use it to make beautiful music, it makes very beautiful music. An apple is made to be eaten, and when we eat apples, they're very delicious. And they bring, and they're good for you too. They bring great nutrition to your stomach. If we try to swap their uses, it doesn't work. If you try to eat a violin, if you try to eat a violin, it'll be very crunchy like chips. But like chips, there's not much nutrition there. If you try to make music with an apple, Timmy, would you like to try to make some music with an apple? Timmy knows that an apple won't be able to make very good music. You guys, I can take the apple, and now you can put your violin away. In the same way, each one of you, although each one of you have been designed for a special purpose by God. Some of you may be called to be pastors or missionaries or doctors or scientists. I've personally been called to be a lawyer. God has prepared each of you for a distinct and special purpose. And when you fulfill that purpose, God will use you to do great things. Point number two, God can prepare you to fulfill your calling. God has prepared you to fulfill your calling. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and have a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses was prepared by God to go before Pharaoh. He didn't want to do it, and he tried to make up excuses all throughout chapters 3 and 4 of Exodus, so that he wouldn't have to do it. But he was prepared by God to lead the nation of Israel. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Moses was one of the best educated people in the world at his time. Even though his parents were slaves, he was adopted into the court of Pharaoh. He was the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. His teachers were famous philosophers, brilliant scientists, and the most respected historians of his time. Moses received a king's education that prepared him to be a great leader and administrator. Think of all the challenges Moses had to face when leading the Israelites. When the Israelites stopped after a day of marching and moving, Moses was the person responsible to make sure every tribe went where it was supposed to, that every family parked where it was supposed to, and that every single tent was pitched in the right place. And if anything was out of line, it came to Moses. In Exodus chapter 18, it says, let's actually turn there. Exodus chapter 18. Start at verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. Let's skip down to chapter 18, verse 15. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Moses was responsible for the entire nation of Israel. Moses had to make sure there was enough food and water for the people. Moses had to deal with disputes, keep the peace, and resolve any issues that came up. Moses was also the person that personally represented the entire nation before God. Although the Bible records some big miracles that God did to keep the Israelites in line, like raining down manna from heaven and sending water out of barren rocks, Moses had to run the day-to-day business of the entire nation. And he did it by himself for quite a long time until his father-in-law, Jethro, actually in chapter 18, reformed the nation's government and got assistance from Moses. God used Moses' time in Pharaoh's court to prepare him for his future purpose in life. You might not have a world-class education like Moses. Not many of us here do. You might not be prepared in the same way Moses was, but God still has a plan for your life. You don't need to be the smartest person in the world to be used by God. God had a plan for the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes in Luke. God used that boy to feed 5,000 people. God had a plan for the widows in 1 Kings 17 who fed Elijah. She wasn't taught in the court of a king. She wasn't one of the great people of her time. She wasn't a great leader or administrator. She just had what God needed and was listening for God's call. Point number 3, God doesn't make any mistakes in his calling. Point number 3, God doesn't make any mistakes in his calling. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 29. Romans 11, 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't make any mistakes in his calling. Moses thought God made a mistake when God called him. Moses didn't think he was smart enough for God to use him. Moses didn't think he was a good enough speaker. Moses didn't even think that the people would listen to him. The Bible registers some of Moses' complaints in Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to turn there real quick. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. Exodus chapter 4, and starting at verse 1, it says, Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses was very insecure about his calling. He wasn't sure that he would be able to do God's job for him. Before in Exodus, it records an incident where Moses killed an Egyptian in defense of one of his countrymen. So he was technically a murderer. Moses thought that God wouldn't be able to use him because of his sin. Moses was very insecure. It also records in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, that Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Like Moses, you might not think God can use you. You might not think that you're smart enough, that you're not talented enough, but you are. God has prepared you to fulfill your purpose. God has given you specific talents and specific burdens. God has made you special to fulfill a special purpose. Point number 4, God blesses you when you follow his calling for your life. Point number 4, God blesses you when you follow his calling for your life. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? He said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. When Moses obeyed God, God blessed him, so that he could accomplish his will. That's right. Moses thought that the people would not believe him. God gave him the miraculous ability to turn a rod into a serpent. When the widow in 1 Kings 17 had no more oil and flour, but obeyed the word of God to feed Elijah anyway, God gave her enough and more than enough to sustain her entire household, and Elijah as well. God has tremendous blessings in store for those who follow his will. The Bible says in Matthew 6, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Moses followed God's plan for his life and went before Pharaoh and led the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses never expected God to show his power by sending the 10 plagues on Egypt. Moses never expected God to rescue the Israelites by splitting the Red Sea. Moses never expected God to provide for the entire nation of Israel by sending bread raining down from heaven. Moses probably never expected God to bring out water from barren rocks. But God blessed Moses and gave him the resources to keep the Israelites going because Moses obeyed God's will for his life. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:6, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. God blesses you when you follow his calling for your life. Point number 5, God will use you in ways you can never imagine. Point number 5, God will use you in ways you can never imagine. Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. When we obey God, God can use us in ways we can never imagine. And Pastor touched on this earlier this morning. We've covered a lot of ground here and gone through a lot of Bible verses. And you might ask, Brother Jeremy, how can I find God's calling for my life? I have three short points under here that I'd like to go through really quickly. If you guys could turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Skip down to verse 4. And it came to pass that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. Samuel was continually before God when God called him. I'd like to interject really quickly here. Today I'm not talking about the things that you should do all the time, regardless of your vocation. Regardless of whether you're going to be a pastor or a lawyer or a scientist or a doctor, God wants you to come to church. God wants you to obey your parents. God wants you to come to church every day, go soul winning. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your specific vocation in life. Samuel was continually before God when God called him to be a preacher. Samuel was ministering before God. Samuel was doing the things God had already told him to do in the Bible. Samuel was serving God, praying the entire time, and serving God when God called him. Number two, talk with your pastor and your parents. Number two, talk with your pastor and with your parents. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Eli was able to give Samuel wisdom about finding out what God's calling for his life was. Eli was the appointed spiritual leader for Samuel. The Bible also says earlier, in the book of 1 Samuel, that Eli was very close to God. He was acquainted with God's voice. He was actually the high priest for the entire nation of Israel. In the same way, your pastor and your parents are closer to God than you are. They're wiser than you. They've been around longer, and they have more experience and wisdom than you do. Because they do, they're better able to hear God's voice, and they can help you with wisdom about finding out what God has for your life. Number three, do it. Number three, do it. Once you know God's will, do it. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. When Samuel followed God, God blessed him. It says earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that there was no open vision in that time. God wasn't speaking actively to the children of Israel. God was looking for someone that he could use to preach his word to the nation of Israel. And when Samuel followed God, God used Samuel to bring the word of God to an entire generation of Israelites. I personally tried to make these people my examples. Before I was called to be a lawyer, I prayed a lot and I talked a lot with my parents and also asked pastor about it. Now that I know my calling, I've been working to fulfill it. We have another good example right before us of God's calling in someone's life. God had a plan for our pastor's life. God called him to go into the ministry soon after he was saved. Sometimes he tells us stories about his childhood and time in Bible college. God prepared him to pastor this church through his childhood experiences, through his time serving in his church, and through his studies at his Bible college. God didn't make a mistake in pastor's calling. Even though for the first few years, pastor didn't see any fruit in this church. He kept on laboring and working, but he didn't see any fruit. God didn't make a mistake in pastor's calling. After Pastor Byram followed God's calling and started this church, it took some time, but God eventually blessed this church with fruit. Most of us have been coming to this church for a while, and we have been fed with the word of God here. God has used this church in tremendous ways. Our church has a tremendous international ministry, with people from all around the world here today that have come here earlier this morning on our bus route. We have ministries that have huge impact in Haiti and around the world. We support dozens of ministries and missionaries that are seeing hundreds of people saved around the world. God has truly used Pastor in a way that he could have never expected. God is just waiting for someone listening and ready for him to use. Let God use you in the way he wants. And I want to pray really quickly. I'm going to hand it back over to Pastor. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to share the word of God with these people. Pray that if anyone doesn't know your calling for his or her life, that you'd bless them. Show your calling for their life to them. Pray that you bless the following speakers and the rest of our time here at church. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.